I welcome each of you. We have visitors here today. I want to welcome you as well. I just remind you there's an outline to the sermon in your bulletin there. If you want to, if you're that kind of person that likes to keep track of where we're going, what we're doing, no guarantees that I'll follow that, although I think I will. So. Two, if you've come today and you didn't know, we've got a meal prepared, and we would love to have you be a part of that. There's going to be games for our younger ones, as part of our Sunday school picnic and so forth, and we would invite families to come, share. There'll be fellowship. We'll have a great time. Praying that the rain holds out, right? Most of the time we're praying it will rain. Today we're asking God to hold that off for a bit. We'll see what He does. Either way, we're going to rejoice in the Lord. Turn to Hebrews, the 6th chapter, verses 9 through 12 is where we'll be today. Hebrews 6, 9 through 12. Let's read this scripture, and then we'll ask God to help us, and we'll get into the text. Hebrews 6, verses 9 through 12. But, beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you, and things that accompany salvation, though we are speaking in this way. For God is not unjust, so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward His name, and having ministered and is still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Loving Heavenly Father, we do pray that you will minister to our hearts in a wonderful way. Your people have come. They're before you now. And so I'd ask that you would furthermore open their hearts to your word to them today. And Father, we've all had challenges in this last week, things that have been of concern to you, we give them to you. Our concern to us, we give them to you. Father, there may be those that are disappointed today or discouraged in some way. I pray that you will undertake for them and encourage them. There may be those that have labored hard for your name in this week, and they are a little tired. Give them energy, Father. Strengthen their hearts and their bodies as well. For all of us, Father, we just humble ourselves before you now. We pray that you'll speak to us, that you'll change us, that you'll help us. For that to happen, we need your Spirit now to move in a powerful way. Guide my thoughts and my words. I pray that you will do that. Help me to respond and the listener as well as we should. For the glory of your great name, we pray through Jesus. Amen. Hope is an amazing motivator. It can lift the spirit and energize the body. It can cause a wonderful attitude to permeate the heart in such a way as to motivate us like we've never been motivated before. I was at the UP finals 2 years ago. With one race left, the Barker Harris boys were in second place. The final race was the 1600 meter, and it would determine who ended up with the runner-up trophy. Pickford was way out in front, and there was no catching them, but Crystal Falls Forest Park was 3 points behind Bark River Harris. Crystal Falls was 3 points down, and if they beat Bark River Harris by two places, they would take the runner-up trophy. So it was an interesting race because our fellows had never beaten either one of those teams in a race that year. Now, this scoring came just before, we learned of it just before that race, and it was interesting to watch those young men. It was interesting to watch the fans. It was interesting to watch the coach, because what was about to take place was going to determine who was going to take up a runner-up trophy. You might say, well, a runner-up trophy, what's the big deal? Well, that's a pretty big deal if you're running, and if you've trained all year, it's a big trophy. I will, Lord willing, finish this story at the end of the sermon, okay? I'm not going to tell you the rest, so I'm hoping you're going to stick around. But hope fueled the effort that these guys made. The hope that we have in Christ should powerfully motivate us, really, to give ourselves wholly to the work of the Lord. It should. If we see Him rightly, we understand where we're at, what we're doing, and what the future holds, it should motivate us to give ourselves wholly to the work of the Lord. As we grow in maturity, remember this teaching in the book of Hebrews is all about the supremacy of Christ, that He's greater. He's supreme. And because of who He is, we need to move toward maturity to grow in Christ in our faithfulness and our serving. And as we grow to maturity as followers in Christ, one of the truths that I believe is a powerful truth that will motivate us, that can help us to maintain hope and desire in serving Him is just this, that we have a great Savior and we have a great hope before us. And that hope transcends into what I do today and what the future looks like. And I'm speaking of a present. When I mention hope, I'm speaking of a present and future reality of the blessing we now have and will soon see and enjoy in Him. Now, this sixth chapter, and even beginning at the end of chapter 5, the writer he's kind of taken them to task a little bit. He's spoke some pretty harsh words. He noted there in verse 12 of chapter 5, and he says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." He's saying, by now you should have grown and you haven't. And then we got into chapter 6, and he really laid it onto him there, and he ended that teaching there in those first 8 verses with just the possibilities, I believe, of every believer. He says in verse 7 that there can be fruit. There can be fruit. He mentions that. But he also mentions this same ground can also be fruitless. And for believers, we need to press on for Christ. Well, this particular text, this section I'm covering today, I believe he's pressing them on because of the great hope to give themselves wholly to the work of the Lord. He mentions their position. He starts with that. And boy, we got to remember this. He begins with wonderful words here, but beloved. You know, if you look at the New Testament and you look at that word beloved, it's used only of those in Christ. It's like a word of endearment from our Father to His beloved children. So He mentions this relationship. God addresses them as beloved. The writer here, again, he's speaking to believers, encouraging them on them to this maturity, but he wants them to know that they are specially loved by God. They've come to faith in Christ, and they can experience that love in a way an unbeliever cannot. They are loved by God. How good is that? Don't forget, when you leave here today, if you're in Christ, you're beloved of God. That's their position. And he mentions as well that there is fruit here. Beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you and things that accompany salvation. I believe he's speaking of fruit there. That they are laboring, and I think the text will bear that out. They've been laboring, and there's fruit. Where there's life, there's fruit. We planted a garden some time ago, and I love to watch it grow. And I'm looking for the harvest. I'm looking toward the fruit. Where there's life, there's fruit. Probably not as much as any of us wants, or we would, maybe I should say it this way, probably all of us desire that there would be greater fruit in our lives for the glory of God, but there is fruit. We need to remember not to grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not, Galatians 6:9. So there's fruit there, but he does mention here too, he's spoken this, he's been pretty firm with them, but beloved, again, verse 9, we're convinced of better things concerning you. And he has just talked about fruit, and I think he's talking about bearing fruit here, that accompanies salvation, though we are speaking in this way. And sometimes, you know, God does speak to our hearts in a way that, ooh, it's a little bit uncomfortable. That's because he loves us. He desires for us to grow. He has the best in line for us and wants the best for us. There's exhortation here as well, though we're speaking this way. And he just wants you. He's telling the listener here that, you know, these are sobering words. I understand that. But they're words that are meant to compel them into growing closer to Christ. Words that have reminded them of the reality of life and what could be if they would stubbornly resist the word and allow their pride to rule them. And I said last week, and I want to say it again, I believe a believer can make a mess of their lives We can set aside the Word of God. We can go our own way. And it may be that we come to a point that God disciplines us. But listen, you and I can make a mess of our lives in a moment in time. And don't think you can't. We need to hang on to Christ for all we can. So he mentions their position and then their work as well. Look at verse 10. For God is not unjust, so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward His name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. Friend, if you don't know that verse, if you haven't marked that verse, you need to be reminded. Make a mark in your Bible. Don't forget this. It is so important. He talks about their work. Notice that it was first of all noted by God. God is not unjust so as to forget. Well, I'll tell you what. Often people forget, don't they? I was sitting in my pew there thinking, okay, now this is, I go up there, I got to make sure and mention this. You know, I can write something down up here that I need to mention and I still don't get there. I'll forget it. Sometimes I hate to say this, I'll forget somebody's name. I don't like to do that. You guys don't have that problem, right? Yeah. Told somebody, I never forget a name, but I can't remember a face. You guys didn't even get that, did you? People forget. We'll forget what someone has done. And soon, often, labor for Christ, we don't remember what someone else did. That's okay. Because God doesn't forget. And in the end, He's the one we're serving. It was noticed by God. I want you to know something here that I'll tell you, I believe is a great battle in our minds. We'll get all excited about something here that has no eternal value. We'll chase it. Could be anything. Because down deep inside, we're not really sure if we really believe this. That God is not unjust. As to forget your what? Your work. And the love which you have shown toward His name, and having ministered and still ministering to the saints. Might be that Sunday school teacher that has taught for years, and once in a while maybe hears back from someone. It may be just, maybe it's a mom who's poured her heart into those children, and she wonders, did I really make a difference? And wonders if anyone has remembered. Maybe it's the pastor down the road. That has labored and labored and labored, and he wonders, is anything happening? Maybe it's the worker in their workplace, and they faithfully shine the light of Christ, and they're wondering, have I made a difference? So I want you to know, God has noticed, and He will not forget. But the enemy comes along, and he says, what do you think you're doing? What a fool. You're getting nowhere. You're making no difference. God's not using you. What a lie we sometimes believe. It was noticed by God. And there's a couple things I want you to note here. That it was labor. The word means just what it says. To labor, to work, to toil. We had a Sunday school promotion earlier today. And it takes commitment from individuals to prepare those teachers' labor during the week to be able to proclaim the Word of God. It's work. It's toil. It's hard. It takes sacrifice. It takes time. And they are prepared to then teach. But it's labor. It's labor to serve your neighbor. It's labor to serve your brother, your sister. It's work. But it's something we ought to engage in often. I think all of us ought to be able to say sometime, wow, I'm exhausted today because I've labored hard for Christ. That's a good tired. We all ought to at some point say that. And by the way, if you're here today and you have labored hard for Christ and you're tired out, I want to say to you, I believe most of the work of the Lord is done by people who are tired out. It's hard work. It's a wonderful work. It's a wonderful tired. And it was done out of love as well. It's noticed by God. And He mentions here that it's labor and it's love. God is not unjust. Again, verse 10. As to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward His name. You know, when you labor for the Lord, it's always laboring for Him. You've got these two things. It's fleshed out in the lives of people, and it's those that we minister to. But first and foremost, it's for the glory of the Lord. It's His name we're laboring for. See, it's vertical first, and then it's horizontal. It was love. The word used here is agape. It is the highest and most pure expression of love known to man. God defines it in the way that He loves us. He loves us because He's loving. And we can't do anything to make Him love us more. He just pours out this thing. He absolutely loves us. But these believers here, the writer notes that you have been ministering. And I want you to know God hasn't forgotten that. Maybe you're inclined to be discouraged or to give up. Oh, so many believers that have been shaken and say, it's not worth it. It's too hard. Nobody appreciates it. I haven't been maybe affirmed as I should or thanked as I should. All these things. Listen, none of us are perfect here. You're not. If you're part of this church, you're not a part of a perfect church. Not yet. And we're all a work in progress here. But listen, I want you to know that God hasn't forgotten. God hasn't forgotten. It was labor, it was love. And they were doing what Jesus calls all of us to do. They were storing up for themselves treasure in heaven. So it was vertical, it was toward His name. Colossians 3:24, it is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Boy, is that a blessing to me to remember that. I absolutely love people. Sometimes I get a little worn, though. And I may not, with the best attitude, serve the Lord. I have to remember, I'm first and foremost serving Him. It's for His name. It's for His glory. And that helps me. They were doing, though, what Jesus called all of us to do. It was vertical. It was to His name, and it was horizontal. To the saints. Isn't that beautiful? Think about that. And here's where it really makes a difference. If I'm where I need to be here, in my relationship to God, it's going to be a whole lot easier when I'm dealing with others and they're dealing with me. There's going to be great joy. I want to say something else, too. Before it goes, I remember before I got up here, I had put a note aside to put my notes that I didn't put in my notes. But I remembered it. So here it is. You're going to have days when the world looks like it's turned upside down. Problems have come. Difficulty is mine. I get looking at these situations, and it can be pretty depressing. One of the great antidotes to that is to serve someone else. Call up a brother or sister, send a note, make sure you're interacting with someone else, and ask yourself the question, how can I be a blessing to them today? Get proactive. Because I find this, and I believe believers do as well, whenever God uses me in some way to be a blessing to someone else, I'm encouraged. It lifts my soul. So when you're singing the blues, here's a way to get out of it in a hurry. Think about this. How can I minister to someone in my family, a friend, a relative, someone I know that's hurting in some way? God will use you powerfully. You'll find out something. It'll lift your spirit. Practical challenge right there for you. I want to say one more thing here on this verse. And by the way, we could speak of this verse all morning long. It is so important. But I want to say it is and will be worth it. It is and will be worth it. Others may forget, but God does not. Are you discouraged with the work of the Lord today? Maybe you've witnessed to someone for a long time. You haven't yet seen them come to Christ. Maybe it is that you had a brother or sister that you had a great part in their life and something's happened and they're not walking with the Lord as they should. Maybe you led someone to Christ. And as you did that, you had great hopes, and they were going to go on and serve the Lord, and something went wrong somewhere, and they're not where they should be. And you look at all these things, and you're discouraged. I want to remind you of something this morning. Jesus said, I will build my church. I will build my church. Now, He does that through people, certainly through His Word. We're part of that. But ultimately, it is from him and through him that fruit is produced. I will build my church. Maybe you're discouraged with some of the things you see, but the fruit belongs to him alone. We are responsible to be available, to engage, to do his bidding, and I believe the fruit will come, but it is his work. He is the builder. He's the one that ultimately brings it. We are required as stewards, you know where I'm going, that one be found faithful. We're required to do that. He will bring the fruit. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who is at work in us, both to will and to do his good pleasure." Well, if you've noted here, there are a couple things. First, he reminded them of their position, and then he spoke of their work, and finally, he speaks of their attitude. He speaks of their attitude. Look at verses 11 and 12. "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." This attitude, he drives them toward a zeal, and I believe this zeal was there. He says this zeal should be yours, verse 11. "We desire that each one of you show the same diligence." The word means to show haste, eagerness, earnestness, zeal. Get serving, grow, mature. Have this "I'll never give up" attitude in you. I had a responsibility growing up. Worked on a Christmas tree farm. There came a point when I was a foreman there. And at this particular point in my life, I was over young guys, ages 14 to 18 in there. And I always interesting to know these guys' background, to see what kind of laborer they would be and what kind of zeal they took to that day's work, which was work. Set them on the end of a row, may go a quarter mile. Can't even remember how many trees were in a quarter mile row now, but anyway. It was could be a long day. And I was assigning rows, and we had a young man, and I knew he was from a strong family, and I knew his dad and his work ethic. And I remember saying to him, "So-and-so, there's your row. Trim it." And most guys, you know, it's 7:30 in the morning, so they're hobbling up there. This guy takes off, and he's on that thing in a moment in time. I'd never seen that before or since. I was impressed. He had a zeal for work. He had a zeal to do what was set before him. There should be a diligence in every Christian worker. I don't believe a Christian worker should out. I mean, there are some physical things involved, but no one should work harder than Christians. And we need to remember when we are in doing ministry of any sort, which is full time, by the way, for all of us, that there ought to be a zeal for us, a diligence to that. And he says, "I desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of things until the end." They were to grow. They were to mature. It was to be the way of life for them. They were to be on fire for the Lord. That's what it needed to be. And he speaks of that hope that is powerfully motivating in the end of verse 11. To realize the full assurance of hope until the end. We have hope, but do we realize it? Do we realize that everything we do today is empowered by God? Christ walks with us. He enables us, gives us the strength to do His bidding. Do we realize that? What a great hope we have. Do we realize that we don't have to carry a burden at all? We can give it all to Him. Do we realize that He's at work taking the tough stuff of life and using it in our lives to make us more like Christ? Christ, what a great hope we have. There's not a wasted tear for the believer. Not one. And do we realize that one day we're going to be in His presence? We're going to see Him face to face. And that ought to make a difference of what happens here and now. The way I engage in this life of walking with Christ. That ought to be a big difference. That is a motivating hope. You and I must be assured in that way. So practical. So practical. It's not just out there. It's here and now, right now, today, for me. Now, he spoke of a slothfulness to avoid. Look at verse 12. "So that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." When I hear that word sluggish or slothful, I think of a slug. We were mushrooming about 2 weeks ago, and I picked this mushroom. There was a big slug on it. And so I was trying to knock him off from there, but he was slime, and he slimed me with like this orange slime. It made my fingers go numb a little bit. I guess I'm allergic to slugs. They don't hardly move. They're slow. They're sluggish. They're slothful. The word means to be dull. Listen, there can be no room in the Christian life for that kind of an attitude, for that kind of action. That's not what God calls us to. It's been some years ago, a godly man, remember he was speaking to us men that were looking toward the ministry, and he told us, he said, there's four things, four areas in your life that can take you out of the ministry, make you ineffective. He said, there's silver, sex, slothfulness, and self. But he mentions this slothfulness. If that's our attitude and the way that we conduct our day and our bodies and our the work we're in, whatever we're doing, get rid of it. See it for what it is. That's not to be a part of the redeemed. It's not to be a part of our lives. We battle it for sure. We need to be careful there. Then he gives us an example to consider here. He talks about those full assurance hope to the end so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and persistence inherit the promises. They're looking to, those kind of people are looking to the Lord. He'll mention one of them in the next verse is Abraham. But if we look back on those that have gone before us, we can take some notes and understand some great examples of believers who looked to the promises of God and lived their lives according to His Word. Be like those who have labored well and trusted God. They believed the Word. And the Word of God changed their lives in the history of the world. If God can do that through them, you know where I'm going to go here, right? If God can do that through them, He's not done. He can work through us to bring about His pleasure. I need to stop for just a moment because I think there's something that we need to note, and I've thought about this, the best way to do this. I think this is the absolute best way to do this. So I'm kind of putting a halt on the sermon for just a moment, although I'm not done. This scripture has been talking about attitudes. It's been talking about fruit. It's been laying before us this whole thought about serving well, being diligent. We had a Sunday school promotion today. We had to make some changes over the years and so forth. And today we had to make some changes as far as what those classes will look like. But in Romans 16, I think you'll know where I'm going with this. I'll read you just a couple of scriptures, and then I've just got something I want you to be a part of here. I commended you in the 16th chapter of Romans, a beautiful chapter. It's all names till you get toward the end. All names, kind of obscure names to us. But what God was doing there through the Apostle Paul is He says, I don't forget. I don't forget. I know those who have served and served well. He begins with this woman named Phoebe. I commend you to your sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and that you help her in whatever she may have need of you. For she herself has been a helper of many and of myself as well. Now, God, what's He doing there? He's saying, you know, here's an individual, and I want you to know that I'm keeping track. And a matter of fact, I want the world to know this. We have two Sunday school teachers that have been with us for a long time. And one has taught, I believe Bernice has taught for over 60 years. Barb Ives has taught for over 50 years. And I've asked these ladies, now I think this is the last thing in the world they want to do, but I've asked them to come up. Because, you know, here's the apostle. He says, I thank God for these ladies, or this lady. And then he goes on to mention a whole bunch of others. But I've asked these ladies to come up. I want you to recognize with us, we have something for them. Come on, Bernice. Bernice, 60-some years. Barb, 50-some years. And this may be a little heavy, But I want to acknowledge that we are grateful. We thank God for you guys, for your labor, for your faithfulness to this ministry. These ladies, not only are they great teachers, they're mature, beautiful women, wonderful wives, grandmas. They have a love for the Lord that transcends into so many other things than just teaching. But we acknowledge that we're not forgetting today. And we give God thanks for you. Thank you very much, both of you. I want to finish that story I began with. You guys remember that now, right? Okay. They had to beat one of these teams if they're going to have some measure of success that day. And hope fueled those men, four young men. And the adrenaline by now was flowing. I noticed a change in these guys when they heard about, okay, we can't finish in third if Crystal Falls finishes in first. They'll get 4 points for winning that. We will lose by one. And I watched these guys and I saw the adrenaline. I saw the eyes get bigger and they're looking to one another, you know. So I'm a spectator. I'm not going to get spent watching. It's kind of a good place to be, right? I'm just watching. So these young men, they each one had to give an extraordinary effort if they were going to succeed. That's what had to happen. And all of those guys gave all they had. It wasn't that one or three could give it all. That would not work that day. So the first three runners did just that. And I'm not going to describe how I know they did just that, but if you watch a guy run for all he was worth, sometimes there's a reaction from that. Anyway, I knew that these men gave all that they had, and that left it up to that put them in a place for the last person to be able to engage in this race in a way that maybe could happen. They're all connected by a baton, right? Nobody can drop that baton. What one person does affects what the next person does, on and on it goes. And when Mark River Harris got the handoff, and remember, they're racing two teams they've never beat before. And Pickford, I believe Crystal Falls was in the lead at that point. Pickford also was ahead of Mark River Harris. And when the handoff came, we were about 15 yards behind. So if this race remains the same, we're not coming home with a trophy. And 200-yard mark, Mark River Harris runner, because of what others had done, was able to pass the Pickford guy. Anybody hear from Pickford today? Good. I'll tell the rest of the story. Sorry about that if you are. But they finished just behind Crystal Falls, which allowed them to win by 1 point. I'm talking about 1,600-meter run. There's a whole team that contributed to that point in time, and our boys were able to bring home that runner-up trophy. They were elated. But it took all those guys. They were all part of something bigger than themselves. You know, we get all pumped up about a trophy like that. I've watched that race probably 15 times since that on DVD. Kind of like to watch it still. How much more? That trophy's gone into a trophy box. It'll one day be gone. How much more should we be diligent and zealous for the work of the Lord, which will be remembered by Him forever? We have no good reason at all to be anything other than zealous for His great name. We're part of a family of believers connected by the blood of Christ. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. God is at work on every corner. He will not forget your labor and the love which you have shown toward His name in having ministered and is still ministering to you, to the saints. Give yourself wholly to the work of the Lord today. Today. That it might look different a year from now, a week from now. My prayer is that the hope and assurance we have in Christ will motivate us to serve Him well and grow in our love for others as we do that. He's worthy of our love, of our passion, of our zeal. May our lives be full of the grace of God that will overflow to our service to Him as so that He can impact our family, friends, and those that He's placed in our life that they might draw closer to the Lord. I finish with a great verse from 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Loving Heavenly Father, I pray that you will motivate us in a great way because of what we have, because of who we are, because of the power that is yours to be used and the grace that is ours to gather that up. I pray that you will strongly use this body. Thank you for those. We had two ladies before us who for years have Sunday after Sunday after Sunday prepared and taught. And there are others following them doing the same. May we be used up and spent for your glory. Father, bring much fruit. Those that may be here today that are thinking, I don't know if it will be worth it. I pray that they will understand it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Move us, we pray. And for this meal to come, Father, your blessings on that, we would ask, we give thanks, give us great fellowship in Jesus' name. Amen.